This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along as we begin to talk about winter driving with AAA. Andrea Higdon is with us once again from AAA in Pennsylvania to talk about what we need to expect. And even though we've already seen some snow this year, she's going to get us ready for all the necessities of prepping for winter driving and actually getting out and operating properly in the precipitation that doesn't always cooperate with our vehicles. Andrea, thanks for joining us on the program. Andrea, let's start by talking about the winter that is approaching, and maybe that's a bad terminology since we already had a really big storm a month before winter got here, but you know, something certainly on the minds of folks as they're heading out now.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not just, you know, we don't see it just in one age group. It's really everybody that's concerned about it. And living in Northeast PA, I guess we're used to it by now. But it's always, you know, it's always a mental preparation as well as a physical preparation to get the winter going.
I know when I'm done driving in a storm and I get home, I feel like my muscles are relaxing because it's a tense time to be on the road with snow.
Very tense. And we got a good amount this last time. It wasn't just a little storm.
And I think the mix, too, makes it even worse. I mean, that's people certainly got to think about the type of precipitation, too, before they go out. It can vary greatly as to, you know, how hard it's going to be to drive in it.
Absolutely. Snow is one thing. And I think snow might be even the easier to drive in when it's strictly snow. But when we get into that snow sleet mix and then sometimes even after the storm, it warms up a little bit, things melt, then it freezes up again at night, then you're encountering black ice and, you know, different situations, especially in shaded areas and overpasses, underpasses. That's what freezes first.
My daughter just learned that. We were driving over the bridge, and I you know, you always remember seeing the signs, bridge freezes before road surface.
Yes.
And so I had to explain that. But explain that for us. What
sure.
For folks who say, what's the difference on a bridge?
Well, the difference on a bridge is underneath the bridge is space or air. So because that part gets colder, that bridge is going to freeze a lot quicker than the actual ground that has the earth beneath it that's still somewhat warm. Really important to, like you said, watch out for overpasses, bridges, shaded areas, especially places where there's a lot of trees, and sometimes it might just look like it's wet, and you know, unfortunately, it could be black ice. And so I think the number one thing in winter driving is speed, to reduce your speed, because no matter what you encounter, if you're going slow enough, it won't be as bad.
And we've all seen the videos of places, whether it be around here or elsewhere in the country, where when it is just a sheet of ice and it happens suddenly, cars just completely out of control. I mean, there's just nothing you can do then.
Nothing. It doesn't matter if you have a big truck or if you have a tiny car on ice, it doesn't matter. And I think that's where we encounter a lot of the issues, because these big trucks think like, oh, I'm big and heavy and I don't have to wait around. I can go on this. But really, ice is ice. No car is going to perform well on it.
And during this past storm, because it was a mix, and I was coming into work exceptionally slow.
Yes.
And fortunately, the hour I come in, there's very few people out there, but I did one of those out of control and never happened to me before. So, it can happen even if you, no matter how careful you're being sometimes, which is why sometimes they tell us, stay home if you can.
Yes. That's when I do senior presentations, that's the number one advice that, you know, I leave them with, is if you don't have to go out, don't go out, because, you know, inevitably there's always some, you know, person on the road that is driving like it's sunny and 75 or is angry at you because you're going slower and they're the ones that are in a ditch a mile down the road. So unfortunately, if you don't have to go out, just stay in, wait till conditions improve.
And sometimes it's even, I can only go this speed. Maybe the guy behind you, maybe it is just snow and instead of ice. And that guy has, really good tires and a vehicle built for these conditions. Maybe he could go faster, but let's remember, we all have different vehicles.
Yes, absolutely. And knowing your vehicle is really important in the snow, too, because if you have front-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive, all-wheel drive, four-wheel drive, those all are going to perform differently in snow. And as far as getting stuck, that's a huge thing to know, because if obviously you have a rear-wheel drive vehicle, you're going to want to put all of the, you know, if you have kitty litter or whatever you have, some kind of abrasive material to help you get out of, you know, wherever you're stuck, you're going to want to put that behind the back tires, not the front tires, because those are the ones that are moving. Things like that, just little tips to know in the winter are really important.
I did that as well this past storm. Got
did
stuck
you?
Twice, no less. No. Maybe you can count three times, because till I got out and trying to park here, I mean, yeah. So not a good start to my winter.
No.
Hopefully, and obviously for everybody around here who is dealing with, you know, I mean, up to a foot of snow, really, in many areas.
Yes.
So depending where you were. Give people some idea of getting ready for the winter. What do they need to do? How do they need to have their cars prepared and themselves as far as what's in the car to be prepared for a situation?
Well, I usually say in around October, and again, this is, you know, this changes every year because this year we got snow early. So, you know, anytime in the fall where we're approaching winter, you want to make sure that your car is ready for the snow. That means checking your tires, making sure there's enough tread on that, because good tires are really important for traction. So that's one thing we really want to make sure that we have going into the winter. You know, checking your, just kind of giving your car once over, you know, your oil, checking your antifreeze levels, your windshield wiper fluid. This is super important because, you know, we get all that snow, then we get the salt on our cars, and we're constantly using that windshield wiper fluid. And when it runs out, it just runs out. There's no warning.
Oh, and that's a mess when that happens.
I don't know why in this day and age we don't have like an alert that tells us, hey, your windshield wiper
fluid's low. You're down to 20% or something. Yeah, that would be a
Maybe
good feature.
Maybe some of the fancy cars have it, but,
yeah,
you know, the average car does not.
Okay.
So I always say to, you know, fill it up and then put the rest, because it always comes in that big, you know, gallon or whatever, throw it in the back. That way you have it. God forbid, you know, you run out in the middle of nowhere. And then always have an emergency kit ready in the wintertime. You can put this together, you know, ahead of time and just kind of leave it in your trunk or your backseat. And that includes things like an extra pair of gloves, a hat, scarf, any kind of extra clothing in case you do get stuck somewhere. Water is very, very important. So you want jugs of water, maybe a couple gallons, non-perishable foods. So that's anything like a granola bar, candy bar, anything that's going to last a really long time that you can throw in there and forget about it. Like a scraper with, you know, one of, that's not essential, but it's a good thing to have, a scraper just in case, you know, you do get stuck. Jumper cables, if you have them, most of the time, whatever emergency services come out to help you, they'll have those. So those aren't essential. Any kind of abrasive material like kitty litter, and believe it or not, the cheaper the kitty litter, the more it's going to help you get out, because it's very, very, the cheaper ones are like very gritty and sandy. So that, and I actually used that this past winter and it worked like a charm. So it does work. And it's nice because it gives you a little bit of weight too. So you can just throw that in your back and in the trunk. And then if you're on any kind of life-saving medication, make sure to have an extra dose or two in the glove compartment. Just keep it there. It's really important just in case. And then also a cell phone charger.
Okay. And I'm the kind of person to say, you know what, I only drive, you know, it's my commute on a healthy, normal day is good weather is like 20 minutes.
Right.
So I think, well, you know, what's going to happen? I'm okay. But I mean, I guess really anybody needs to, you know, keep that stuff in mind. Doesn't matter how far you're driving, because if it's, you know, if it's a serious storm, I mean, you know, we've heard these in the last couple of years on the Interstate 80 and 81, things getting stuck and people being there for hours and hours and hours.
Yes.
So, I mean, if it's a well-traveled area, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yes, absolutely. That's one of the worst things is getting stuck on when there's those multi-car pileups and then the traffic backs up for hours and hours. People run out of gas because they don't have, you know, you could have a quarter tank, but if you're sitting there idling for 5 hours, you're going to run out of gas. So it's really important exactly for instances like that, just to have it. And to always remember that even if you don't have reception on your phone, even if it says no service, you can still always dial 911. It will always go through.
Can you give us some tips for you know, operating a vehicle in the snow or ice? We've often commented here because every time
weather event starts, we start hearing crashes left and right, like as if people forgot how to drive from the last storm. So, you know, what do you just give us some just general information to say here? You know, here's the things to keep in mind. Like you mentioned, slow down is probably the big one, but it goes beyond that as well.
Yes. And remember that you can only affect yourself. I can only be, you know, as careful of a driver as I can be. I can't affect the others on the road. And so sometimes that's important to remember. People get angry at other drivers or, you know, and you have to remember the key, like you said, is slow down. That's the most important thing, because you can even get ticketed for driving under the speed limit if you're going too fast for conditions. So that's really important to go as slow as you need to go to be the safest possible. Keep at least, PennDOT recommends that you keep at least 3 cars in distance in from you and the next car. Obviously, you can only do that to the car in front of you. The car behind you could be riding riding your bumper. What I do in those instances is I just try to pull over and let them pass, because it's really not worth it to, you know, get angry or have them get angry. And then, you know, just try to not make any sudden steering corrections. If you feel yourself slipping or if you feel your car going in one direction, don't panic. Don't make any sudden overcorrections. Don't slam on the brakes, things like that. So no sudden big movements.
And when my car was sliding a couple of weeks ago, I remember thinking, running through my head was, I remember learning what to do in this situation, but I don't remember.
Right. So. Right, because so, you don't encounter it every day.
Yeah, and you know, I've been driving for 30 years, and that's the first time that happened to me. So
Very scary.
Extremely. But fortunately, there was no one on the road, and there was a snowplow coming for me, so I let him go, and then I drove right behind him. So that made the rest of the trip a bit safer. Let's also talk a bit about older drivers. That recently was a week set aside to kind of raise awareness there. And change topics here in the middle, but you know, I want to address that a little bit. Everybody has seen an older person driving that said, you know, wow, why are they going so slow, or why are they doing this? I guess until you get there, then you say, oh, now I know why. Give us a feel for that person. What's going on in their head?
Yeah. So you have to remember that in our society today, we're such a hurried society. We're always like rushing to get somewhere, and that generation doesn't really have that. You know, they don't really have that same mentality. Also, they're not distracted like a lot of us are, right? So they're not on their cell phones. They're not messing with the radio. They're solely focused on driving, and they're trying to be a cautious and careful driver. And they're going as slow as they feel is safe for them. And that's where they feel comfortable at. So while it can be, you know, some can find that annoying, they are really a safe driver. They're not, you know, they're not the ones I would really be concerned about on the road, unless, of course, you take, you know, if there's an age factor where maybe they're forgetting, or they're, you know, driving and they're not knowing where they're going, or maybe they're, you know, can't stay in their lane, then there's an issue of trying to talk to the relatives or the family about maybe taking the keys and having, you know, a talk about that. But in general, I would say they're pretty safe drivers.
Yeah, that's you think of it as why are they going slow? But in many cases, it's just they are precisely following the rules, whereas pretty much no one else seems to do that anymore.
You're like mad because they're going the speed limit.
Yeah,
you know?
They're the ones with their turning signals right. on, which I think we've talked about before is a big pet peeve.
Right,
they were
right.
put there for a reason. Use them, like you mentioned, talking to the relatives of an older person.
Yeah.
That's a tough conversation. Very. It's a tough to know when to approach it and how to approach it. What do you do?
Well, you know, you can contact PennDOT, and they can kind of evaluate them. Also, their physician can evaluate them. If you don't feel comfortable as a family member saying, you know, I need to take your keys away, I don't feel like you're a safe driver, you can just call, you know, their doctor and say, listen, I really don't think that they should be driving. And they can, you know, they can give a medical, you know, exemption or something that says, you know, I really don't think that they should be on the road.
Okay. So, and that certainly is going to vary by age. I mean, there's the 90-year-olds that are probably better than 60-year-olds
Absolutely.
In some cases.
Absolutely. I've met a, you know, 98-year-old that was, you know, sharp as a tack, was totally with it. But again, you're right. It can do with age, but it really has to do with mental state, I think. You know, you have some in the early stages of Alzheimer's or, you know, dementia, and that can greatly affect their driving.
Okay. Which brings me to the next thought, which is, you know, we might think, oh, certainly everybody's out there saying old people are terrible drivers. Teenagers are terrible drivers. It's the middle-aged men that can't drive. You know, everybody's got everybody. A thought. Now, well, maybe everybody can't drive, but what do you see certain groups that are bigger problems, or is it just what, you know, each of us is perceiving?
Yeah, you know what? I think every group has its, you know, has its issues, for lack of a better word. You know, you have your, before the teenager, young adult group used to be the ones that were constantly texting and, you know, distracted driving. But we're seeing that's not the case anymore. It's not just them. It goes into the 30s and 40s and 50s, and we're seeing it all over. Sometimes even 60s and 70s, you know, you have that. And same thing with the drinking and driving. You assume that it would be a young person that would be pulled over for drinking and driving, but there have been 75-year-olds that have been pulled over for drinking and driving. So there's really, it doesn't discriminate anymore. I feel like over the whole spectrum of ages, you know, there's always some issue.
Okay. And texting, whatever.
Yeah.
Illegal or not, people still do it. Or I think it's almost like a rationalization where it's like, well, I'm not really like looking at it and texting. I'm kind of like, doing this. I'm just looking down for a second. And,
right.
But that second, 2 seconds, all you need.
Oh, absolutely.
For a disaster.
And you know what it is too? It's I do it once and nothing happens. So then I get more comfortable with it. And then I do it again and nothing happens. So we create this mentality of, oh, it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. I'm really good at it. When in actuality, it could happen to anybody at any time.
And I can mention myself, people I know that have had it, you know, crashes because of it. So, and if I can personally name somebody, there are two, you know, it's got to be happening
a
lot.
Yes.
Which is odd. I mean, even though we had distracted driving before cell phones, that's really certainly accelerated the problem.
Oh, absolutely. It's the biggest.
All right. And it is illegal now, I think, in every state.
Absolutely.
Correct.
Yes,
okay.
It is illegal.
Which,
yep.
As well, it should be. But,
right.
But, you know, using an actual phone or hands free, that's. That varies a lot. Where's Pennsylvania on that?
Pennsylvania is not a hands-free state, so we can physically still hold our phone and talk. But studies have shown, like, you know, our neighbors, New Jersey, Delaware, New York, they're all hands-free states. But studies have shown that it's not really that much safer because you're, like, what's distracted is your mind. Your mind is distracted and not focusing on the task of driving. So whether you're actually holding that phone or you're just talking while you're driving, you're still not paying attention to the road, and that's the danger.
Yeah, because even the radio can throw you off. So
yeah.
if you're too radio, focused on what's
kids,
going on,
other passengers.
So just a few things to keep in mind before we wrap up the program today. Let's kind of circle back around to winter and any other thoughts on things we need to remember as we drive this winter. You know, whether it be staying on the road or what, you know, what happens when we are stuck or off the road. What, you know, what safety tips do we need to keep in mind?
Sure. Well, one of the safety tips that we always tell people, and this is winter driving and just in general, is always tell somebody where you're planning to go and the time that you plan to arrive there. That's really important. In case you don't get to your destination, then they'll know that something happened and they can go looking for you. The other thing is, if you do happen to get stuck on the road in a snowstorm or something, just make sure that if you're running your car that your tailpipe is clear, because we run into the issue of carbon monoxide poisoning in the wintertime. And that's because if that tailpipe is blocked, then those fumes go back into the car, and they are odorless and they're colorless. So you don't see it, you don't smell it, you don't even realize it's happening. But some of the first symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning are nausea, headache. So if you feel yourself getting sick or having a headache, then, you know, get outside, get some fresh air. But really just try to run your car only as much as you need to stay warm.
Hopefully by the time this airs, we won't have had to deal with this again. We can get all this information and take it forward with us through the winter. But we thank you for being with us on the program today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.